Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're going to speak about the Holy Spirit today. I want to give you some pneumatology. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and by no means do I endeavor to at any time be the smartest guy in the room, so to speak. But today I do want to offer you some sound doctrine from the Word of God, and I want to set you up for an encounter and a journey to go through, not just here today on a Sunday, but a life to live out as you daily encounter the Holy Spirit. And so you need to know that today all across the world, Christians are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. All throughout the world together, today, yesterday, tomorrow, whatever your time zone is, people are celebrating one of the most significant markers in church history. It is one of the most significant markers in the activation, in the flourishing, in the beginningness of what the church was actually all about. In fact, many people would say that outside of Jesus' death, resurrection, him leaving the Spirit, that the day of Pentecost was the third or fourth most significant day in a Christian believer's life because of what it sparked. So I want to give you some pneumatology. What is that? It's just the study of doctrine, pneuma, the wind of God, the Spirit of God, the breath of God. I'm going to give you some doctrine around that to help shape you. And then I want to help give you some doctrine as to how you can encounter the Holy Spirit. Because how many people know that you can know all about something, but unless you encounter that thing, you'll just be a spectator. If you just want to I love all the nerd geeky stuff. I like studying. I like learning. But if all I do is stay in that lane, then my faith journey becomes a spectator journey. I call out what people should and shouldn't do. I'm analyzing things because I want to know everything about God. But newsflash, God is God and we're not. There is a mystery in the Spirit that can only be encountered when you encounter the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do my best to give you some teaching this morning, but I want you to understand that in a world right now, we live in 21st century Christianity, there is a huge chasm right now between wisdom and knowledge and actually a revelation encounter. Yes. Yes. Because people have somehow made it that you have to choose between the two. That you're a better Christian because all you do is encounter. You're a better Christian because all you have is head knowledge. But the two things could be not further from the truth. Because I have to have a knowledge base to know whether something is the Holy Spirit or bad pizza the night before. Come on. But I also have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit to actually allow myself to be changed. Because if all I do is have head knowledge, I become like the Pharisees before Jesus when he says, you search the scripture because you want to be right, you want to be cool, you want everyone to give you respect and honor, but you neglect the fact that the scriptures point to me. You can have all the head knowledge, but never encounter me, and you're just a spectator, not a participator. Following me. So my prayer for you, Nations Church Belmont, 11 a.m. service, is that today I'd give you some sound doctrine, but that it would lead you to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to jump into Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 3 and chapter 2 as well. Before we do, I want to just set you up with the framework. So on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus ascended to be with his Father, that he left us the wonderful gift, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't like an object or just a random thing on the side. He is a person. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Let me give you some Bible. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was God in the beginning. He forever will be. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Very clear. God was around at the start. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. There is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through all things live. Genesis 1:2 says, the Holy Spirit was active, hovering around the waters. So I want to set you up with some clear framework from the start that it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. There are three distinct beings, three distinct persons. There is one true God, but this is a Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. So when we come to a Pentecost Sunday, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, moving in the Holy Spirit, I want to submit to you that I am not choosing who's better. I'm not separating a parent, right? Any parents with young kids, I'm not like, mom says no, but you know what? Dad's going to say yes. I'm going to come to dad. When I married my wife, Jess, I entered into a covenant relationship with her. When I married her, I didn't just marry her. I came into her family as well. Now, for some in the room, that might trigger you right now, right? Mother-in-law, father-in-law issues. That's cool. Stay with me. But when I came into that relationship, I didn't get to say, you know what, Jess, I really love you. Your brother, he's okay. He's a good dude. Your mom, yeah, she's good. But your dad, yeah, if we could just, you'd be like, Gaz, that's a recipe for disaster, right? You're going to have a bad time in your marriage. Why? Because we're in a covenant relationship. When you said yes to Jesus, when you gave your life to Him, you opened the door to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. There was an indwelling within you. So on a day of Pentecost, we don't just celebrate historical what was happened poured out in the Spirit. We don't just celebrate the fact that you said yes to Jesus and were filled with a portion of the Holy Spirit, but we celebrate the fact that you can be filled to be filled. In other words, you can have a fresh infilling tomorrow, today, next week, next year, because the journey with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing journey in our lives. None of us have the right to say that we've mastered the Holy Spirit and now we can graduate. None of us have the right to say, well, you know, I know it all. I've had the encounters and kind of... See, the Holy Spirit is not a topic to be conquered and then move on from. The Holy Spirit is a person to walk with us in our each and everyday lives. So with that context set, you guys still good? You with me? Acts 1 and Acts 2. Acts 1 verse 4. Being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore they'd come together and they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Which is a fair question for what Jesus has done already. And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His authority, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses. In other words, power is for purpose. You shall have My witnesses to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's like me saying, we're going to move from Belmont to Perth to WA to Australia. Jesus is saying you're going out in concentric circles from the Jewish to the non for the Gentile, right? Going out till everybody hears the gospel of the good news of Christ. Now, He had spoken these things while they watched. He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. So we then jump to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. So that's happened. Day of Pentecost. They've waited. Then the day of Pentecost has happened because there is a feast in the time, a feast of first fruits. So you can imagine the best way I could describe it is maybe imagine in Perth, it's a conference season. Everybody's gathered from different states, different nations, different nationalities. And we're all gathered together. It's conference season. Everyone's coming because everyone wants to encounter Jesus together. So all the Jewish people have come from their towns. That's why there is a mass gathering at the time. So the day of Pentecost has now finally come. And they were all in one place with one accord. That's beautiful, speaking of the unity that the Spirit brings. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house as they were sitting, and they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We're about to chat about that a little bit later. It's a beautiful story, and also is the text of Jesus ascending to be with His Father. When He says, I've got to go with My Father. It's better that I go so I can leave You the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the breath of God, Your comforter, your shield, the one that helps you in all things. And it's better if I go because what I have for you is a game changer. What I have for you is something that's going to change the game for humanity. It's going to change the game for you who suffer with battles against your flesh all the time. I'm giving you My Spirit to help you conquer that battle. I'm giving you My Spirit to help see the mandate reached and so people hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But He says, I'm going to leave you My Spirit. I'm going to leave you My Spirit. And you notice all throughout the text when Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, all throughout the Synoptic Gospels, it's always around experiential language. In other words, it's always about experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives when we say yes to Him, and we know that we need a framework for it, but it's a very key reminder because here's the thing, last words are a thing in Scripture. They're a thing. That's why Solomon could pen letters and write books and talk about his conquests. Everything is done, but at the end of it, he says, oh, listen, I made these mistakes. And if you're reading this letter, I need you to know, don't make the same mistakes that I did. Paul's last words were a thing. He said, I've done it all, but if anyone's listening, I just finished the race. I did it well. Here's how to do it. Here's how to finish. Last words are a thing. So it's very exact. It's very specific about Jesus giving humanity last words to say that I need you to fulfill a mission and you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. It should show us how important the person of the Holy Spirit is in our life. John 16:7. Anyway, I'm telling you the truth. It's better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the one who is to help will not come to you. So we have to walk with the Holy Spirit each and every day. Four main points I want to give you this morning. That is this. The Holy Spirit purifies. The Holy Spirit unifies. The Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit empowers. Someone at my 9 a.m. said, "Oh, God, man, I just love what you did with those phrases. Like, how did you think of that? That is so, that word pure, I don't know how you've done it." I was like, "Pure? What are you talking about?" Turns out, purify, unify, reveal, empower. Pure. The Holy Spirit is pure. It's like, yeah, I meant that. I was been working on that for the last couple of weeks. You know, it just, I just forgot because, you know. But that's definitely the Spirit's work, not mine. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. So pure, number one, purify. It shouldn't be a surprise with the name that is Holy Spirit, that His Spirit is holy. His Spirit is holy. And His Spirit helps us on the journey of sanctification. Check this out, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes it like this, chapter 6, verse 11. "And as such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." Remember, John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but there'll be one who comes who will do even far greater by His Spirit." Galatians 5:22, 23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit ought to abide in believers: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it talks about that all these things are done in a way to help sanctify you. Because how many know that if we were left to our own devices, we'd be in trouble? Yeah. If we were left to our own devices, we'd be in trouble. How do I know that? Listen to what Romans says, Romans 8:13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." That's pretty brutal. "But if the Spirit to you put death to the misdeeds of your body, you will live." You will live. The Holy Spirit is the best behavioral modification tool you have in your life. The Holy Spirit is the best behavioral modification tool in your life. It is not your spouse. It is not your partner. I'm all for Christian counseling. We have friends. I've been in that. I'm all for those different things, different resources, podcasts, books. But I want to say the foremost, most efficient, effective tool in your life to modify your behavior is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit. Because listen, if I was to give you like a list and say, well, you know, what do you want to choose? Do you want to choose hate? Anxiety, fear, impatience, anger, hatefulness, unfaithfulness, being uncontrollable. In every sense, everything that's opposite to the fruits of the Spirit, I don't think everyone puts their hand up and says, yeah, that sounds like a good list. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'll take that. No, we don't. Why? Because we want to, when we say yes to Jesus, we want to have those fruits of the Spirit in our life made manifest. We want to have those fruits of the Spirit in our life be expressed to others. And the only way to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit is to be humbled and walk with the Spirit. So you have to have the walking, living relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life so then the fruits of the Holy Spirit can be demonstrated in your life. If you want to have a spirit check in your life, ask yourself this question right now. Am I seeing these fruits evidenced in my life? Now, this is not condemnation. Please hear me out. I'm on this journey as well. But if you want to do a self-reflection check right now, ask yourself, where's my love at? Where's my joy? Where's my peace at? Come on, all the parents in the room, where's my patience at, right? Young kids, come on, where's my patience at? Where's my kindness at? Where's the good? Where's faithfulness? Where is my level of self-control in my life? And the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit helps us on this journey of sanctification. Yeah. Jesus, I'm giving you a gift because I know that you're going to fall short. I know that you're going to stuff up. Like, I'm God, you're not. I know that you're going to get to hurdles in life and you're going to fall, but guess what? I'm not going to look down on you because I can't look down on my Spirit. And so because my Spirit is doing work within you, when you fall at the hurdle, I'm not looking at you. I'm speaking to my Spirit. Hey, get him back up again. Let's go again. Hey, advocate. He's saying, Jesus, man, this Gaz guy, he's fallen like 10 times today. But I know he's a good dude and I know he loves you and I know he means well. I'm going to advocate for him. Don't punish him. Don't send your wrath on him like in the Old Testament when your presence was housed and people couldn't get too close. Don't do that. He's a good man. Can you see the role of the Holy Spirit in our life to advocate for us, to help us on this journey of sanctification in our lives? Number two, the Holy Spirit unifies. The day of Pentecost, a wonderful thing happened. New community, in other words, the church was started. And why it was so unprecedented was there had never been a marked reality of community like that ever before. There had never been, if you study all throughout, later on, continue reading the book of Acts, read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, believers, the unity was so great that they would meet together around tables. And because they were trying to work out the different ministries and who could give what and who could do what, they just said, well, if you don't have it, I'll give it to you. And we'll meet together around the table. And if you don't have food for the next 7 days because you're in town, I'll give you food. And if you need a room to stay, yeah, you can. We'll sleep together in this room and you can use this room. There was uncommon unity. And Paul goes to great lengths in the four letters he writes, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to the early church. It is the most Pentecostal book because it is dealing with the navigation of the gifts and fruits of the Spirit in the Bible. So what happens is Paul hears about the Holy Spirit that started and birthed the early church. And now people are going for it, man. There's signs, there's wonders, there's healing, people are being raised, people are being set free, demonically being oppressed. All these incredible things are happening. And Paul says, hold up. This is Dad speaking now. I heard that you prophetic people, you think that you're superior because the gift of the Spirit is prophetic, but you're not. And you guys that are doing healings, I heard that you thought that you're the bee's knees because of the healings that are coming out. You're not. And hey, don't get me started on the group that thinks they can interpret tongues, right? That gift, like, you guys think you're awesome standing in front. But what's Paul doing throughout that whole letter? He's trying to bring unity. Because he said it's not in the Spirit's DNA to bring disunity. Yes. We know that because God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they work together constantly in unity. It's not a one-man show. The Spirit of God demonstrates to us that when God's Spirit is moving, there is always unity. There is always unity. If you have the gift of the prophetic in this church, praise God for you, but don't step out of the covering of community. If you have the gift of healing in this church, thank you, praise God. That's to God be the glory. But use it in the community of the saints to help edify the church and bring Christ glory with the gifts you have. The fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are not to bring us glory, but to bring Him glory. If you ever question yourself, I don't know, is this something that's from God? A better question to ask is, who is this giving glory to? Yeah. So Paul addresses the early church. He says, hey, listen, you guys need to know. Here's what he says, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul's very sneaky when he writes letters. He just throws words in. But to the Jewish audience, they always know exactly what he means. He says, hey, greetings. Greetings in God, the Father and the Son and the fellowship of the Spirit. Straight away, he's saying, you can't separate. Yeah. There's community. Whenever I greet you in Christendom, whenever I greet you under the power of Christ, I'm greeting you under the pretense of unity. That's what he's saying. Every time I address you, I'm addressing you under the pretense of unity in life. Philippians 2, 1 to 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and being one of mind. How beautiful is that? What's stunning is what happened at Pentecost and what happened before Jesus' ascension, some 3,000 years before. That word divided in tongues, or that phrase in different Bibles, that the only time in Scripture you find a phrase like that is some 3,000 years earlier, Tower of Babel. If you don't know what that is, mankind conjured up a way to build a tower to get closer to God because they wanted to be more united. That's the phrase. The same phrase used on the day of Pentecost. What's God doing? God is literally reversing the curse of man. Isn't that stunning? What mankind tried to do to get unity, God dissembled. He shut down the tower straight away. People speak in different tongues straight away. God's like, no, I'm not having it. Why? Because it's not a sovereign move of my Spirit. You can't have sovereign unity without God's Spirit. You can't. So God says, I'm not having it. Why? It's not a move of my Spirit. It's man-made. It's what you wanted. But the day of Pentecost comes and He says, hey, you want unity? Now you've got it. Like divided tongues because of Pentecost. Isn't the Bible wonderful like that? that God's constantly through the work in us, trying to restore us back all the way to God's original intention in the Garden of Eden to before sin. And constantly, what did he do? He gave his Spirit to help us get to where we were always meant to be. How good is that? That's great news. That's stunning news. The Holy Spirit unifies. Point three, the Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit reveals. Don't have enough time to fully go into this point, but this is littered throughout Scripture. We go through it. If you want to learn about it, we do a Life Activated course at Nations Church over 5 weeks where we go through all this in detail as well. So if you want more questions, want to know more about it, register for that. It'll help you out. But we go through Gideon, Samson, Saul, prophets in the Old Testament, David, Moses. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. About the Spirit of God back in those days in the Old Testament, we don't have what Jesus did. So the Holy Spirit used to fall on people and he used to give them direction for the next. It used to reveal things to them that it revealed to no one else. Daniel was literally interpreting dreams that no one else knew of an evil king in an evil empire. Why? Because the Spirit of God had an assignment for him to reveal something that no one else could see. Have you ever been in a situation before where you've kind of wondered, like, you know, where do I go next, God? What do I do next, God? What's the right path to take? And you can't really explain it, you know? You can't really quantify it. But you do the thing that kind of doesn't make fully logical sense, but you feel like you're obeying the Spirit, and you look back and you're like, oh, that was the Spirit of God. Why? The Holy Spirit reveals. I'm so grateful for that, because I don't have all the knowledge that I need in this life. And I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit who reveals things to me. That's why the beautiful gift of the prophetic is amazing, that it reveals the gift of God's character to different people, that the Spirit of God reveals, but it doesn't just reveal for decisions you need to make, it also reveals conditions in our heart. Reveals the stuff. Has anyone ever been gently tapped by the Holy Spirit on the shoulder before? I say gentle, but let's be honest, it ain't gentle, right? It's like, hey, guys, listen. You know that thing? No, I don't. I'm good, God. You know, and he comes back. It's like, hey, you know that thing? But he reveals stuff. But here's what the other thing the Holy Spirit does. Reveals our identity in Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals our identity in Christ, our true identity. Romans 6:16, he bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God and cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us, hey, you got some stuff you need to work on. But he also helps reveal our true identity in Christ. That's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. It's not like a one-way condemnation street. No. He also reveals our true identity in Christ. Here's what he also does. He reveals through his word. He reveals to his word. John 14, it says, you know, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you and bring remembrance to everything that I have said to you. He will guide you. John 16, 13, he will guide you into all truth. We live in 21st century Christianity where there's this kind of weird phenomena at the moment where people will say, well, you know, Gareth, I'm not really like a Holy Spirit person. I'm more of a word person. Like, I'm more of a Bible person, right? And I lovingly say, great, awesome, fantastic. And they kind of expect me to, you know, rebuttal back. And I can't rebuttal back. Because what you said to me is you're a Holy Spirit person.
Yeah.
If you're a word person, you're actually a Holy Spirit person. That's not my words. 2 Peter 1, 20-21, the Holy Spirit inspires the author. 2 Timothy 3:16, the resulting scripture is then inspired or God-breathed. Ruah, Spirit, the Holy Spirit then illuminates the reader, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So let's be Bible people, but understand that you can't be a Bible person without being a Spirit person. You can't be a Bible person without being a Holy Spirit. Why? Because without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is just letters on pieces of paper. It isn't brought to life to us. And listen, God bless us for reading our word, absolutely nothing against it. But we need to have revelation of what the Word of God says in its context and then speaks directly to us in our lives. Lastly, the Holy Spirit empowers. Can't give enough time to this, but we're going to do a series on it later in November. It's stunning. But every time in the Bible, every single time that God anoints someone, it's always for appointment.
Yeah.
Every single time. In other words, because you're appointed, you're anointed.
Yeah.
You catch that? The anointing is null and void if there is no appointment.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, because when he entered the temple courts, he speaks about and reiterates the prophecy from Isaiah many years before. He says, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the anointing of God is upon me, therefore I will preach the good news, set captives free, heal the brokenhearted, declare the acceptable year of the year of the Lord. What's he doing? He's saying, I'm anointed, but the anointing is only ever there because it's preceded by appointment. So it makes sense now while Jesus says, hey, listen, I'm going to leave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because there's work to be done. Because I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is left for you because Judea needs to hear it, because Jerusalem needs to hear it, because it needs to go out Samaria to the ends of the earth. He's giving an assignment that they would have understood, the Jewish people would have understood this straight away to what he's saying. He's saying an anointing is coming for what you have been appointed to do. That's why in Scripture there is a constant reference when Jesus is speaking about his Spirit to living water. Constantly. And it's not a mistake. Because words were so rich in a Jewish context. They carried so much beauty. It was almost like poetry to them. When they spoke, it was beautiful. Every word had intentionality. So to a Jewish person who was living in a time where they were obsessed with what they could get from the land and what they could cultivate from the sea, the Dead Sea, straight away they knew what Jesus was speaking about. They lived their whole life trying to get stuff out of the Dead Sea and knew that you couldn't get anything because nothing lived in dead water. And so they knew whenever Jesus was speaking about living water, he was speaking in contrast to dead water. Dead water was where water would come into but not come out of. Living water is a process of where you are filled and then you are filled to be filled. Water in, water out. Water in, water out. Water in, water out. Water in, water out. Anointed, saturated, divine revelation, encounter with the Holy Spirit, baptized afresh. Why? So I can do something with it. Anointed, appointed, revelation, encounter. Why? So I can do something with it. It's the pattern all throughout Scripture. Matthew 28, therefore go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to be obedient to everything I have commanded with you. And lo, I am with you always till the very end of the age. As I finish up, I am always so humbled whenever we speak about the Holy Spirit and whenever we, you know, talk about Pentecost Sunday. One of the things that it blows my mind. Like I don't have accurate enough language to put around this concept. You read in the Old Testament, they had this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. It was the presence of God housed. And Jesus hadn't come yet. And so they were very specific about where they would worship the presence of the Lord, where it would go. There were times where it was captured and moved around and different things. But predominantly, the function of it was to rest in Jerusalem. And when it was traveling, they would rest it in other places and tabernacle of meeting. And you know, they'd have different areas and different compounds and inner courts, outer courts, a massive thing. Certain people only could go in. Certain high priests. If you're from a certain bloodline, this wasn't common. You had to be born into a bloodline to then go into the role of priesthood. Speaking of what Jesus did for us by us being born through his blood into a new creation and now all of us being high priests. So this is how you had to get in, and they would have tassels on their clothes. And around the feet of the tassels, they would tie bells on each one. And they would let someone go into the Holy of Holies. And they had to perform the duties of the people. So sometimes they had to just, you know, clean up, which is standard or whatever. Or sometimes they had to actually bring a sacrifice. Sometimes they had to pray. Sometimes they had to bring incense. There was different things. And the people outside, because they couldn't get in, they would listen. And they would listen intently. Because as the person was walking, you could hear the bells jiggling as they were walking. But when the bells stopped moving, the person out here would wriggle it a bit. When the bells stopped, it meant the person had died. Because that which is unholy can't stand around he who is holy. And then they would have to pull the body back. Because that which is holy can't be near that which is unholy. And Paul writes something masterful. He says, this blows my mind. Don't you know that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Hold up, Paul. That which is holy around that which is unholy? Shouldn't I die in this place? Shouldn't I die in this place? We don't, because of the Holy Spirit. That blows my mind. It blows my mind that I, everyday, ordinary, family to raise, bills to pay, jobs to go to, sport commitments to juggle, things going on in life, getting angry at Perth traffic on the freeway, right? Like every little thing, me, just everyday, ordinary Gareth, me, could somehow house the very living presence of the Most High God, where thousands of years ago, people would die to be in the very position that I am in today. Isn't that such good news? Isn't that stunning? Isn't that wonderful? That's why when we stand at the start of the message and we say, Jesus, all we have to do sometimes is just to say thank you. It's not hype, it's very real. Because we're in a position where people many years before Jesus, quite frankly, could not be in. I want to encourage you, friend, it is a tremendous privilege and honor to house the presence of God. To you and I in this room, be a living temple of the Most High God, to bear the fruits, to bear the gifts of the Spirit, to see the mandate realized that people would come to know Jesus, and in all those things to not die in the process. Friend, the Holy Spirit, He is wonderful. He is real. He wants to anoint you afresh this morning. Why? Because you've been appointed to actually do something. You've been appointed to actually do something. He purifies and He unifies. He gives us space to help us out with. He reveals and He also empowers us in this next season. Amen. Just stay seated. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. How we love you, Father. You're so worthy of our praise. So worthy of our honor and our adoration. What you heard was us speak about the fact that Jesus, God's Son, walked this earth. He died, He rose again, He ascended to be with His Father after that. And He left us the great advocate, the helper, the Spirit of truth that would lead us in all things, the Holy Spirit. And I guess the question you could ask is, why did Jesus come? If the Holy Spirit was left by Him, why did He come? That's a valid question. He came because we fell short. He came because we stuffed up in the garden. He came because we couldn't do this life by ourselves. We made some dumb decisions. And the reality is that Adam and Eve in the garden could really be each and every one of us in this room. Let's be honest, we make dumb decisions. And Jesus came to make it right. And He would die a cruel, horrific death on a cross. He would rise again after 3 days to show that He was fully man and fully God. And He would do all this to offer humanity a way back to God. Jesus said, you cannot get to the Father without coming through me. There's no way. You can't. What does that mean? It means if we accept Him as Lord and Savior, if we accept that He was born of a virgin, that He died on a cross, that He rose again after 3 days, that He was of immaculate conception, that everything in His life He was who He said He was, the divine deity, the holy Son of God, fully God but fully man. If we accept all those things, turn our back on our ways of living, repentance, we follow Him, then He says, I'll give you a hand up. And I'll give you a hand to my Father. And I won't leave you high and dry. I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you through this life. Because you can't do it by yourself. It's too hard. That's the story of the gospel. To save us from a life without knowing what a beautiful love He has to give. And to save us from an eternity without knowing Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.